So I'm delighted to say we are here this afternoon at Channing School with Chris and Rachel, who are here to talk about the Forest School, which sounds a really exciting project which Channing has.
Welcome to Chatting with Channing. This is the podcast for Channing School that lets you, the listener, find out more by hearing from people throughout the whole school community. Each episode, you'll hear real stories from staff, from pupils, from parents, and from the school's alumni to give you a true reflection of life on Highgate Hill. So come with us now as we get into this episode.
So I wonder whether one of you would like to tell me perhaps a bit more about the history and the background of Forest School.
So the Forest School programme at the junior school began about 7 years ago. Initially, it was an offering to the younger pupils. And over the last 5 years, we've expanded to cover reception through to year four and to offer a wider range of both equipment and activities. So it's a site which is a very nice, mature garden stroke forest. And there's a wide range of possibilities.
Okay. And the evolution of that through the various years, has that been a sort of natural progression? Has it been something that's been driven by just the interest of the pupils or a sort of philosophy of the school that you need to broaden the base of the pupils?
I think a bit of both, because Chris and I sort of took over a couple of years ago now from somebody else. And I think we both just saw the value in it and sort of questioned why, especially the younger ones, the receptions weren't doing it before year one. And then also just wondering why we were stopping at year two and saying, oh, well, you don't need to do this anymore. It's not helping anymore. Well, it's great for their development and obviously all PSCD and life skills. So yeah, it was just suggested and the other school were keen to keep it going for longer.
So are you two the driving forces, the spirit behind it, do you think? Is that a polite way of putting it?
We've been very happy and very enthusiastic in being the current leads of it. Previously, one of our colleagues was running it in a smaller capacity, and the children were really reacting very positively to it. And so its value became evident through their enthusiasm as well as through the educational opportunities and successes we've spotted.
And I think for the parents as well, seeing that how much of a positive benefit it has in their children, I think,
yeah,
you know, they didn't want it to end either when it got to year two. And all the current year four people was already saying, oh, no, we don't do it next year. So, yeah, I think it's something that the parents have really been happy and keen that their kids are doing as well.
Do you have some special skills that have been tapped into as a result of your expertise? So were you particularly good at something and people thought you two are just what we need to keep Forest School going?
I think all of the people who get involved in Forest School generally have an interest in the outdoors. I had a background in sailing and so I was keen on ropes and knots.
Right.
And the training courses that we do to be Forest School practitioners and leaders are very good, very extensive, using a wide range of outdoor experience and teaching you things that are beyond the everyday in the Forest School. So talking about sharpening knives and things like that. And obviously it's good practice to know how to do it, but you don't actually need to teach year twos or threes or fours to do that kind of thing. So it's been great to do it and to draw on our wide skills base.
I mean, I think the main thing is we're all passionate about being outside. I think if you're not, then I don't think you'd want to be doing it. So, yeah, definitely wanting to be outside is probably one of the main things.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
One of the things that the previous head, Mrs Lawrence, thought was making a really good use of the site because it was basically the forest part was out of bounds, really, and it wasn't being used for terribly much. It's a fantastic range of mature trees. So she identified it as a really good expansion of our educational possibilities within an underused part of the site. And the children have really responded to going outside more and becoming more aware of the elements and wearing more suitable clothing when it's feeling a bit less amenable than a beautiful summer's day. Yes. But also in the past, we had an indoor sports hall and now we've got a more outdoorsy multi-use games area. So it really helps them feel, you know, outdoorsy, feel fresh air, get lots of wildlife nearby. We see birds and foxes. So it's you know, it's very good for their mental health, I think.
Yeah, I mean, just as an aside, have you noticed a specific change in the pupils post-COVID? Because a lot of people I've been chatting to have noticed actually a different approach to being outside and needing more encouragement to actually, you know, feel safe. Is that something that you've noticed?
I think within our school setting, we have over the last decade encouraged the girls to be more adventurous outside, adventurous in a safe way, that is. When I first joined the school about 10 years ago, the garden was well used and well loved, but all of the opportunities for mud kitchens or for climbing trees was quite lightly used by the girls, who were a little bit more reserved in that regard. And they're becoming more adventurous in terms of playing with mud and climbing trees. And
yeah, and I think in terms of losing it, because I know there's this the worry of them spending more time indoors during COVID for some as well. I don't feel like our pupils at our school came back being more negative to the outdoors, maybe because we already had the forest school and we're also very lucky to have a large playground as well. I don't think in that way don't think they're affected.
Yeah,
way.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So what sort of activities do they get up to?
So there's a huge range of activities. Got a massive list here for you, but some of the things that we do.
Far away.
So we're really fortunate to have a pond. So that means in the summer months, pond dipping is one of the things that we do. We've got newts and frogs in there at the moment. So already we're seeing those, and the girls, you know, they themselves will pond dip and take them out and look at them and identify them. And we've got obviously books and things down there to help with that. They're also with like the younger, well, starting from the younger girls, they'll begin to learn to whittle. So using peelers at the beginning and then working their way up to using sheath knives as well, like in year three and year four. And that's really nice to see, because now with I've just taken a year three class, they can have not the sheath knives out, but they can have the peelers out completely independently and responsibly, wearing a glove on their helper hand, making things that they want to make, not necessarily something I've told them to.
Yeah, so we encourage tree climbing. We have a number of mature trees which are suitable for that. We have some ropes which are set up for climbing or for swinging. We sometimes build rope bridges with the ropes so that they can work on their core strength and their balance and their... it really helps their, confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, how does it aid or feed into their development, do you think, in general?
Well, definitely with confidence, I think, and that sense of achievement. So our main climbing tree, and you climb up and then there's a rope to come down. Some of the year ones are already up there and coming down the rope. But for some, it might take them until the end of their forest school journey to achieve that. And there's definitely there's definitely a camaraderie between the class as well. If there's somebody going up there for the first time, or attempting to, they'll all get behind, cheering them on, and then really celebrate when they come down.
So sort of rite of passage.
Yeah, so it's really nice to see that, and obviously that confidence that gives them, you would hope then that would transfer to other skills, PE, or in the classroom as well.
Right. So fine motor as well as whatever it is,
gross motor
skills. Is that what they're called?
Yeah, gross motor and fine motor. Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned ponds and these trees. I've got other areas as well around there.
It's a site which is bordering onto the local park, so it's very nice because it's like being under a canopy of trees. The summer months they give it a certain coolness and shelter from the UV rays at the very least, and then in the winter it's a sort of shelter from the rain sometimes, because many of them are yew trees, holly trees, beech, elder, sycamore, so there's a real range. It's a lovely part of the site because it's away from the main roads and away from the hustle and bustle. So it really offers the opportunity to enjoy feeling in nature in such a central London location. There are certain parts of the site where where we have trees in various stages of life. So there are one or two elder trees which are now coming to the end of their life, which then gives the opportunity for fungus to be there and to explore that with the girls and just observe it, how it comes and goes, but how it's always coming back to the same sort of tree that's breaking down and gradually falling apart. So it's a really beautiful bit of forest, really.
Yeah, and are they becoming expert at identifying trees from leaves and bark and that sort of thing?
That's something that we really do work on, especially starting from with the younger ones. especially with lots of games and scavenger hunts and looking for things and naming them. And then the older girls, it sort of comes naturally that they can identify most of the common things in that area and then are still interested to, you know, they want to learn about maybe new things that they spot. But yeah, we do spend a lot of time making sure that we sort of, if anybody is interested or curious about something, that we, you know, will talk about that, that we've identified it and what was the name. And yeah.
Wow, this it sounds like a wonderful little bit of paradise of Eden in there.
And that last point that Rachel made is one of the key points of Forest School, is the sense that it's more child-led than some of the other educational settings, in the sense that some of the pupils really are into birds and are really pleased to see the robins that come down or to spot the parakeets flying overhead. And some of the others are just fascinated by the ponds and they'll ask to pond it week after week after week. And it's fantastic because they really do get so much out of it. But whilst they're doing that, their friends can be off, you know, playing hide and seek with their friends or working with some tools to craft something or working as a team game or building a den. So it's fantastic to allow the children to develop their own ideas of what they'd like to work on and enjoy.
So it's building their creativity and imagination as well, clearly, from what you're saying. I mean, Gerald Durrell wrote that wonderful book about a zoo in his pocket, doesn't he? You know, that's where it all starts. And I'm sure David Attenborough would be a great fan of what you're doing. That sounds fantastic. So what strategies and approaches do you use to draw them in and to cater for the range of pupils you must have down there?
So for drawing in, we do use a lot of like hooks, especially with the younger girls. So that might be a story that we go down and share together. Say it could be one that everyone knows, like Gruffalo or Stickman. And then an activity might be suggested off that the girls will join in with. But then as it ends, they're then given time to explore freely. And it might be that they continue building on that idea, or they might go off and do something else. And that's also completely fine. Well, I guess it depends on their interests. So with the current year ones, they really believe there's a woodland elf down there that keeps sending them letters. And so every week, even if we don't put one out, they'll say, oh, there's no letter today. But that letter might be saying, oh, hi, I've, you know, my house is blown down.
Great idea.
Can you go and make a new house for me using the sticks and natural things? And they'll go off doing it. So for the younger ones, there's definitely, you can still really work with that imagination and sort of some of the make-believe things. And then in the weeks that you don't do it, they go and make things for this elf anyway. So they're really interested and engaged.
Sort of Percy the Park Keeper stuff.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
That's fantastic. And have your colleagues noticed a change in their attitude and approach to learning in the classroom as a result of being outside? Are they more engaged, more creative, or dynamic as a result of what they're doing?
Well, as a young parent of two small boys, which is not entirely the same as being at Channing, of course, you know, the impact of it on the day in terms of, you know, self-regulation and well-being and release of energy and of feeling good and relaxed is tremendous, isn't it? And so I think that it's something that we experience both from playtimes, break times, PE lessons, Forest School.
I'd say, I mean, I'm not attached to a class, but I definitely think that the sort of, you can tell that the girls are more, I'd say they're pretty resilient and brave. Like the things that, you know, they attempt to do at break time are climbing the other trees. So it's definitely it's definitely building on those attributes.
And how often do they go down to the Forest School? Is this a weekly scheduled lesson or once a fortnight, or how does it work?
No, so a week, they have it timetabled in. They do it once a week for an hour and a half every week for the whole of the year.
Right. And it's obviously something they look forward to.
Yeah, definitely.
So how does that align with the broader curriculum? How does it complement the other learning? I'm wondering with the girls that you've got there, how does that sort of segue into their curriculum?
It's been fantastic in terms of helping to build teams and helping to discuss friendships. It's been fantastic in problem solving, communication skills, because as Rachel's already touched on, when they're climbing and when somebody is finding it a little bit more challenging, their friends are fantastic at giving advice on what they do next or how they move from where they are. So there's lots of really fantastic things about Forest School which happen in any Forest School setting. In terms of our alignment with the curriculum, some of our lessons have aligned really nicely in history and geography with our forests, because there's been at least one year group studying rainforests in the last couple of years. And you can go down to our forest and talk about the canopy and talk about the different levels of life going on in our forest and see how, you know, that can then be imagined up to be scaled for a rainforest. And we did work on the Elizabethans and their exploring and shipbuilding. And so I linked that into the forest school because I could point out trees that in the old days would be cut down and used inside a ship, or what they would be looking for if they were trying to find a mast to repair a ship and things like that.
Yeah.
So you've got some oak trees there, have you, for culling?
Sadly not. And we're certainly not going to cull any of them. No worry there.
Yeah, I think also it's the things that it naturally fits. So we did with the year fours, I think last time we talked about the ages of the trees. And so that involved measuring the trees. And so without even meaning to, we were obviously doing some maths work. So I think it's some of the things that you don't even realise you're doing that just fall into other subjects, and, you know, they're just learning outside, and then they can go and apply those skills in that subject later on, even with, like, subconsciously.
And linking into the history, because, you know, when this tree was a sapling, what was going on in the world, and getting another stand of, some sort of scale of perspective. So the sort of the tie-in, the complementary education you've got going on down there ties in pretty seamlessly from Sousa's stuff with what goes on in the classroom.
Yes, yes. And it's linked in with Maths Week as well, hasn't it? When we've been measuring heights of things and working out how you would work out from the angles the height of a tree. So, yeah, there's the history, there's the maths, there's the geography.
And then there's obviously the storytelling and the creativity and the imagination. Even with your year, you know, older girls going down there and playing make-believe games with their friends still, and still doing mud kitchen activities, you know, there's still that sort of language and literacy is coming through.
And do the art department get involved? Are they down there sketching and doing botanical studies of leaves and...
We tend to do crafting activities so that we're doing it separately. Our art team are tremendously good at finding their own initiatives and doing it their own way, and Mr. Fellows is always using the grounds to go out and about and do sketching. But for us in the forest school team, it's much more about sort of using natural resources, using them thoughtfully and sustainably, so that we try and respect the living creatures and animals and plants, and you know, teaching the girls to use the whittling or to use the tools on items that are finished with and dead rather than living and need to continue to be looked after.
Yeah, so we've done a lot of activities, especially more, I guess, creative art activities with sticks and sort of weaving and making like natural looms. And at Christmas we made wreaths using bits from the ground.
So a bit of wattle and daub.
We haven't done the Anglo-Saxons lately, have we?
I was going to say then. It'll be on to the Great Fire of London.
One thing I've just thought of, which was for Easter, I worked in a bit of Easter egg rolling around the forest school site, and then from there sort of thought about traditional British habits like beating the bounds of an area and sort of discussing that. So sometimes we're able to get in, you know, things like RE and other subjects, and it just offers that sort of freedom to then try something and see whether the girls really respond to it. And
I was going to say, actually, it's funny that you joked about the Fire of London, but we did have a fire down there and they set fire to their own little mini houses to talk about how quickly it spread. So, you know, we've got the space and obviously to be able to do that.
Yeah. So sustainability is obviously something they're being educated on, and responsibility for the environment and care for the various animals and plants.
Yeah, we're definitely trying to look after the site. Our caretakers and gardeners are very, very helpful in helping us look after it. We've been trying to move away from, you know, plastic wherever possible. And when we think about activities like flower bombs, where you get some mud and you put the seeds in and then you're able to throw it, and it's quite a satisfying activity. You know, you want to have the right kind of clay so that we're not getting plastics or other things in there, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's same with some of the craft activities, just moving away, making sure we are beginning to start use biodegradable tape and things like that. So if they're taking them home and they are letting them just break down their garden, but that's okay. And then also teaching them to obviously look after themselves. Litter picking, we do litter picking of the area, the girls look after it themselves. And planting, trying to make it a bit more diverse down there.
Do you have a sort of planting up program of, you know, planting up new saplings or seeds?
Well, Chris is being very modest because he's actually an expert in gardening as well.
Ah,
so he also does gardening club, and that kind of you get that to link in a bit with the forest school. So,
tell us about the gardening club. That sounds great.
So, ideally, in the perfect world, our forest would be bigger, and we would be able to, you know, forage a few items from the forest. This year, we are going to maybe pinch a few elderflowers from the forest because one of our teachers is keen to make some elderflower cordial, which will be a great use because we've got ample elders. But for the rest of it, we kind of have to leave it as it is. So what we do instead is we have a terrace near the school where there is a large number of planters, and the gardening club and forest school participants are encouraged to grow things there. A large majority of them are to do with things that we can put into cooking or taste in some way. And so the forest school team, some of them today were planting some nasturtiums because it's spring and it's looking wonderful in the sunshine at the moment. So, you know, hopefully in a couple of weeks' time, we'll be able to try a bit of nasturtiums with the reception girls, and they'll be able to see a bit of a link there.
Yeah, quite pepperish.
Yeah, delicious. Yeah, a bit of salad. In the past, it's been an after-school club, but at the moment, it's a club during the break time in the morning session. So it's about half an hour long, and there's quite a bit of interest, and we're mostly concentrating on growing edible crops. So we've grown radishes, courgettes, salad leaves. We've got a couple of gooseberries and jostaberries and things like that. And, you know, the focus for me is to take it that journey, think about the sustainability of talking about food miles and reducing food miles, and thinking about then our chef Lisa's very kindly taking the produce in and using it for our salad bar in the school canteen at lunchtime. So for some of our girls, it's great because they can grow it and then eat it.
Fantastic. Any epic failures?
I mean, invariably, almost everything I touch has had some element of failure in it, but...
it's always a numbers game.
Yes, you've got to persevere, haven't you? There's always a late frost to catch you out.
Well, that's also something to learn.
Yeah, but I think that talking about failures, I think that's one of the other big things in forest school is actually the girls fail quite a lot in the forest school area. You know, they might go off and try and make, I can't remember what they're trying to build the other day. I can't think what it is, where you go down the...
Zip wire.
Like a zip wire.
Well, it's very hard to make a zip wire without the correct equipment, but they spent the whole session trying to do it and manage sort of to jump off on a zip wire thing. But I think part of that is the sort of perseverance of not giving up and the resilience or realizing actually this isn't going to work this way. So, yeah.
Yeah, no. And the mechanics behind it and the safety features. It's those incidentals which sort of crop up very often in those moments, which are the important part as well, aren't they? Beyond just the, you know, we're going down to do something specific, but it's all those other bits and pieces that go on around it which really add to it.
The thing about forest school is that doesn't happen as much in the classroom. You don't get those sort of accidental things as much. Obviously it does, but not in the same way as it does when you're following your own interests and being curious. And
do you see some of the students in a different way as a result? The quiet ones in class suddenly pop out in forest school and they're an expert in something and their confidence just zooms up.
I think I've had lots of instances where a pupil has behaved in a way that surprises and delights. There was a girl who was in year one last year, and she astonished some of the other teachers by being so confident at climbing and using ropes. And because I didn't have any prior time with her, I didn't know that she was sort of naturally quite reserved and quite... less inclined to take risks. So for me, it was perfectly natural for her to want to do some climbing and some rope work. But at least one of my colleagues was delighted with how adventurous she was being. And I think that happens every year, doesn't it?
Yeah, and also in the same way, when you have somebody, so we had a new starter in our year four class this year, who came down in the first week, looked terrified, didn't really touch anything, didn't know what to do. And then now we're near the end of the year, and, you know, the other day I just looked around and just noticed her like climbing up a tree, tying up a rope, and you think how far she's come in just sort of 9 months is amazing.
That's fantastic. So I was going to say, I mean, the next question is about sort of their well-being and sort of general sort of wellness, good health. Clearly that comes into pretty much everything they do down there.
Yes, I think it's a real driver. I think that the benefits of time in nature, time in forests are becoming more and more apparent year by year. There's more and more research into it, which invariably suggests that it's a good use of one's time to get into a forest, isn't it?
And then also with the physical activity, the tree climbing, the carrying things, again, it's sort of, I guess, an extra almost PE lesson where they are going to get that those endorphins and sort of naturally feel boosted as well. But yeah, and I guess it's back to what you're saying about overcoming challenges and confidence building. Those things are going to link to your well-being and make you have a more positive outlook, hopefully, on, you know, yourself and your skills.
Yeah. Do you have parents who come back and say, we're just amazed at how Jemima has changed over the course of the term or over the year?
I think that, I mean, let Chris, he can jump in a minute. But yeah, definitely parents, from the way that they react to you and come and say, oh, they really love their forest school time every week with you, it's just really nice to hear, you know, even if they don't elaborate, it's nice to know the girls are going home and that's one of the main things that they're talking about.
Yeah, and the enthusiasm that they show in discussions with you about it, I find that the reception year ones, year threes, year fours, who are not people I directly teach every day of the week, quite often leap out of the corridor and say, oh, we're coming to forest school with you tomorrow and looking forward to it. And it's great when there's a reception girl who's feeling confident and happy like that, isn't it?
Yeah. And when there are parents who know your name, even though you don't teach them any other way, must mean that, you know, they're going home and talking, well, you hope, positively about it. So so that
clearly they are.
When you have no other link to them but that one session.
We're on to our last question. I can't believe it's almost half an hour already, but what sort of outside interests do you guys have? As well as this, I mean, the gardening club we can see now, sir, is one of your expertise. Yeah, what else do you get you out of bed in the morning thinking, wow, this is something different?
Well, for me, it's travel. I love travelling abroad and seeing new places and exploring. I love photography, which goes hand in hand with the travel. I really enjoy art galleries. And then at the moment, the rest of my time is taken up with two young boys. And happily, they are quite keen on forest school activities and things like that. So they're quite happy to be my testers for certain new activities.
See, that's where all the resources keep going when I'm looking for them as well. Like, I bet you Chris is at home, that's where they are.
Send them down the zip wire to see whether it works. How about you, Rachel?
Yeah, what are your... some similarities, but I grew up very outdoorsy. Didn't grow up in London, grew up in Cornwall. So I think I've always had sort of quite an outdoor lifestyle. So I guess in London, it's always sort of, I think I seek that, spending time outdoors, whether that's running or walking, or I've got a little boy, so taking him to places outdoors. But yeah, I guess that sort of goes hand in hand with the passion of forest school. But then, yeah, spending time with my family, travelling.
Fantastic. It has been an absolute pleasure. I'm sure the folks are going to be listening to you discussing forest school at Channing. We'll be delighted. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
And I hope everything continues to go as well as it obviously is at the moment. So thank you very much indeed.
Great. Thank you.
So that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.